Fangoria presents Class of 80.
Listen, I never hitchhiked before. I just really want to be careful. Can I ask you something?
Sure.
Are you weird?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am weird.
You are weird.
Yes.
You're weird, thank God. The last ride I had was so normal it was disgusting. He picked me up in Santa Barbara. By the time we got to Carmel, he wanted to marry me.
Oh, yeah. I thought you never hitchhiked before.
Not before last week. You're my 13th ride.
Oh, great. Weird and unlucky.
We'll see.
Hi, my name is Natasha Pesetta, and I'm the Vanguard of the Vault at Fangoria. Welcome to Season 2 of Class Of, where we are celebrating and looking back at our favorite horror movies from 1980 and 1990. You'll hear from the cast and crew directly about their experiences making the movies that filled the pages of the original run of Fangoria magazine. Our first Class of 80 series is on John Carpenter's The Fog. The legendary Tom Atkins joins us to share his memories from making this incredible movie. Tom remembers the first time he met John Carpenter at an early screening of Halloween, watching Hal Holbrook rehearse his one-man show, Mark Twain Tonight, during breaks on set, offers up his theory on what happened to his character Nick Castle after The Fog ends, and shares his favorite piece of personal trivia. Before we get to Tom, I want to tell you about our series sponsor, Froggy's Fog. From Hollywood, Universal Studios, haunted houses to your own backyard, Froggy's Fog has all your spooky effects needs covered. Froggy's manufactures theatrical fluids right here in the USA, so no need to risk shipping them on the Elizabeth Dane. It is never imported. Their theatrical fluids use pharmaceutical-grade chemicals much better for you than the fog in Antonio Bay, and has more active ingredients in their formulas, causing less wear and tear on your machine, as well as giving you more bang for the buck. So whether it is a professional fog machine, sense to tie a scene together, or their immersive DIY laser swamp kit, Froggy's Fog is your one-stop shop for all things theatrical effects, even fog-filled bubbles. In this time of uncertainty, Froggy's has also started producing hand sanitizer to help combat the COVID-19 pandemic. Visit froggiesfog.com for more information. And I want to tell you about Fangoria.com. Fangoria is offering a free 2-month digital membership to everyone. Go to Fangoria.com for more information and to make an account. Then pour over all the exclusive articles, interviews, and reviews on the site, as well as original video content and podcasts. You'll even have access to high-resolution scans of the original run of Fangoria magazine. Go to Fangoria.com now to start your free digital membership. And if you're looking to add to your social distancing watch list, Fangoria's latest movie, VFW, is now available to stream on demand, and Satanic Panic and Puppet Master The Littlest Reich are both streaming on Shudder. Now let's hear from Tom Atkins, because class is officially in session. John Carpenter's The Fog turns 40 this year, and we have a very special guest joining us to talk about his time working on the movie. I am absolutely thrilled to introduce my favorite actor, Tom Atkins. Thank you so much for joining us, Tom.
Oh, hi, Natasha. I'm so happy to talk to you. I'm really, I'm tickled.
It is truly a thrill, if I can keep using that pun, to have you on this show, Tom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got good news and I got bad news. And the good news is your dates are here. The bad news is they're dead.
They're dead. Of course, Night of the Creeps, one of my favorite movies. Ray Cameron, your role in that movie is so fantastic. And love that you've said that is your favorite movie that you've done.
It is.
Which is great.
Yeah. We just have more fun shooting that than anything. It was a pure hoot. I love Fred Decker and all the kids. I call them kids. They're all in their 50s now, I'm sure. That was probably 40 years ago, too, or 35 or something like that. I think we just had some kind of anniversary year last year.
Yeah.
But who would believe this 40 years for The Fog?
I know. It's crazy. That movie just gets better and better. Every time I watch it, it just looks so beautiful. And the story is just like a slow burn. And it's such a fabulous ghost story. And your performance in it is awesome. And it's the first time that you worked with John Carpenter, which you would go on to work with him on other movies, too.
That's true. Yeah.
Bring us back to the very beginning, Tom. how did you get involved with this movie and getting the role of Nick Castle?
Well, it's kind of circuitous and also easy. Adrienne Barbeau had started dating John from something they did, I think, or she was about to do. And she said, I think this is getting really serious. And she said, my dearest, oldest friend, I don't mean she's old. I mean that in the business.
Right, right.
I've known her longer than about anybody. And she said, I think it's getting serious with this guy, John Carpenter. And he's got a new movie coming out, and I'd like you to come over and see it at the Directors Guild. They're going to have a screening. It's called Halloween. I said, sure, I'd love to. So I went and I saw it, and two people sitting either side of me, and ladies, and they kept hiding their eyes because it was so, you know, deadly. And
it's
and
Halloween,
everything.
Michael
and,
Myers.
Yeah, Michael Myers. And they would they'd be covering up their eyes, saying, can we look? Can we look? And I said, sure, go ahead now. Now's a good time to look. And they'd look and he'd go, oh, you son of a bitch. Because there would be something else terrible happening up there. So at the end of the movie, they leaned across each other, across me, and said, we can't let Adrienne marry this guy. This is so awful. This movie is so bloody. And I said, I think it's really terrific. It's a wonderful film. And they did get married, and didn't matter what we said. I didn't feel that way. I was happy they were getting married. I was happy for Adrienne and John, and that's how I got to meet him. And he invited me to do The Fog out of our friendship together. Mm. And he knew my work a little bit, and he thought I would be good for Nick Castle in The Fog.
Yeah, so you kind of were like, Adrienne was kind of having you guys vet John Carpenter for her a little bit before she tied the knot.
yeah, a little bit. I don't think it really would have meant, you know, anything. But I thought it was sweet that she wanted us to meet the guy and give our okay before she married him.
Yeah, that's so cool. And you know, you, of course, accepted the role of Nick Castle, which is named for Michael Myers, ironically. Nick Castle played Michael Myers in Halloween, and that's your character's name in The Fog. And this, I think, was one of the first movies that you did out in Los Angeles, because you're an East Coast guy. But is that right, that this was one of the first LA movies? So what was that like being in that area?
It was, Well, the first movie I did was The Detective up in New York, but we shot a little bit of The Detective in L.A., and then I went back to New York. But, I think The Fog was the first film in L.A., I think. I'm not positive, but I think so. Did some television movies and some television series, Rockford Files and things.
That's right.
But yeah, I think that was the first film. What a wonderful experience to have that as the my first film. We had a terrific time shooting it up in Northern California and Inverness, and stayed up there in these wonderful little A-frame motel cottages, kind of. Everybody had one. And
oh, that's cool.
It was just terrific. It was like going to summer camp, only it was a little chilly and way, way beautiful up there at Point Reyes Lights and Bodega Bay. And oh yeah, God, that was it was gorgeous.
That's
gorgeous,
so
setting.
Cool. And so speaking of Bodega Bay, you know, with the kind of Hitchcock reference, you know, you're working alongside Janet Leigh and Jamie Lee Curtis, her daughter, in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
What was it like working with those two?
Oh, it was wonderful. Jamie Leigh was young. I think she was about 19 and I was 34. Mm. And we had a really nice chemistry going, nice bounce off each other. And she was she was nervous. I mean, she had done Halloween, but she was a little nervous, still finding her way. But I thought she was a wonderful little actor, and she is, proven to be a star, and is a terrific actor these years later.
Oh yeah, and she's a. She's very confident in that role as Elizabeth, coming in and hitchhiking her way. And, she knows what she wants in that movie.
That's true. And I loved her mom, Janet Leigh. It was a real treat and an honor to work with her. She was a wonderful actress. I'm sorry to see that she passed away, but I guess it'll happen to all of us eventually. And she was such a pro, and so helpful to Jamie too.
Because they don't have a ton of scenes together in the movie, but
but they spent a lot of time together while we were doing it.
That's really cool.
It's not like we were, where we all lived. We weren't at home in L.A. We couldn't go to the house every night. And we were all up there and having a lot of time to have dinners together and lunches on set. And it was just a pure treat from beginning to end.
Wow, that's so great to hear. And let's talk about one of the other main characters in the movie, the actual Fog itself. Now, how did you as an actor, deal with, that just the special effects and, having to deal with all of this fog all the time? And I'm sure the setups were long and, John probably has to get everything just right before he, rolls the cameras. So tell us a little bit about what it was like working with the fog.
that was one of my favorite memories of working on that film was Tommy Lee Wallace had a lot to do with Halloween. He's known John forever, and he did all the special effects for The Fog, and then he directed Halloween 3 with me, which I was thrilled
Dan.
To be part of. But on The Fog, that was before CGI and stuff.
Right.
There was no computer generated effects. And it was one of my favorite memories is John wanted to have this fog roll in up this main drag of this town. I guess it was Inverness, I'm not sure. But it was one street, one big street. And there's Tommy down the end with two fans and a fog machine. And not big enough to really do the job.
Right.
And, oh my God, it took all night. And so many times they would get something going, and I thought, oh, this is looking good. And then a breeze would come up and boom, it was all gone.
Oh, no.
And they couldn't control that. And it was, that was a hoot. Tommy Lee really, he busted his hump doing the effects on that. And I enjoyed a scene I had with Jim Canning, I think his name was. Who was a dead guy on the boat.
Oh, yeah.
When we were out on the boat and Jamie Lee and I went out looking for it. Yeah, yeah. And I had been in the Navy years ago, so I enjoy being on the water. But it was kind of rocking and rolling. It doesn't take a lot to get a small boat going. And I know a lot of guys on the crew were not comfortable at all.
Oh man,
doing that,
sick.
But it was But it was a treat. I enjoyed all of it, and it was easier when we did the. I think there's a scene early on where I'm in bed with her, looking at her art.
Right.
And I think it's the second seat. I pick her up in the truck, and she asks me if I'm weird, and I said, yes, I am. And then we're in bed, and I'm looking at her art. And then there's a knock on the door, and I go to the door, and there's a lot of fog out there. Mm-hmm. And that was an easier sequence to handle because it was kind of protected from any wind in that. And right, I think we might have done that scene at on a studio set in LA when we got back.
Yeah, and that's such a fantastic scene too, because it's first, you know, it escalates quickly between Nick and Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And I think it's even after, you know, you're looking through the book, you're like, oh yeah, what's your name?
Yeah.
It's kind of like this sweet moment where these two strangers just come together, and you know, that's what it is.
But
I wanted to go back to that scene you were talking about on the seagrass, where you have that monologue where you're remembering your dad was a fisherman, and he actually had an encounter with a ghost ship as well. That's as far as we get on a backstory on this character, Nick. Did John or Deborah, did they fill you in on any other backstory for Nick, or was it just this is who this guy is?
It was pretty much that story, and that was my history, and then I made him my own out of that.
Gotcha. There's a couple scenes where you're driving this truck, of course, and you seem to have spent a lot of time in the truck because it's used, you know, pretty often in the movie. I was wondering, you know, did you like driving the truck? Was it cool? It looks like it was a pretty cool old, you know, car.
That truck was the biggest pain in the ass I've ever driven in my life. I've driven many sticks. I've always owned sticks until later. Now I don't, but, you know, I have an automatic now because the hills are too much of a pain in the butt to drive sticks around here with. But
Pittsburgh, you don't want to do that.
Yeah. Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania is too hilly. So I enjoy the automatic now, but I always had sticks before that. I think at the time we did the fog, I had a little VW stick. I know I did. Yeah. A little red one. And a Beetle. So I was used to sticks, and I had driven trucks before, pickups and five-ton truck. But that truck, it was old, and it was, you can't say it was restored, certainly, but it was drivable. But the clutch was problematic, and it was not easy. Yeah, it was temperamental, and it would tend to stall at the most inopportune times.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was wondering, because some movie vehicles, you know, they either are a dream to work with, or, you know, more frequently a nightmare. And I was wondering which one was that for you.
Yeah, it was. I love that. I loved the moment near toward the end of the film when I grabbed the kid out of the house and jumped into the truck, and Jamie's having trouble getting it.
Oh, yeah.
Getting away from the denizens of the fog that are coming after us. And it was, with that truck, it was perfectly understandable.
Yeah. That was real life right there.
Yeah.
Tom, do you remember the first time that you actually saw the fog in its entirety? Was there like a crew screening or anything? What are your memories of first seeing it all together?
Oh, wow. Oh, I know. I remember when. Yeah, I remember when. It was in Tempe, Arizona. Mm. We went out there to test it with students from the university. And they had press kits and question cards. And I think John, Deborah, me, Jamie, maybe Janet, Hal Holbrook. I don't know how many people were out there. That's where I saw it, and I thought, oh, wow, this is terrific. I really enjoyed it. I thought it turned out really good. So did the kids watching it.
Oh, good. That was probably a good indicator then.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering about the reaction to it because, you know, when Halloween first came out, you know, John Carpenter said, like, it didn't get very good reviews, you know, and it took a while for people to warm up to it. So I was wondering, like, how the atmosphere and vibe was about, okay, here's our follow-up, The Fog, and, you know, what is that going to do? So that's interesting that it had a really good response. That's great.
I thought it was a terrific response, and I thought it did pretty well. And I know John was really nervous about The Fog because it was an old-fashioned ghost story.
Right.
And he was a little afraid that it wouldn't be scary enough for people, that it wouldn't pull them in quick enough. Mm. So he added, he made additional shots. I think before we went to Tempe, I'm not sure. I think it was before, or it might have been after, I'm not sure. But he added the stuff at the beginning with the gas station pump out, falling on the ground, spewing out gasoline, stuff falling off shelves in the store, things that were unexplainable that he added to get people scared.
The beginning is that part is very John Carpenter's, you know, very Christine. It's very, you know, just his style for
it
sure.
But I loved the way the original, the start with John
Houseman,
telling a wonderful story to these kids who were just wrapped around this campfire on the beach.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
At the end of it, I loved that the camera went up into the dark night sky and then came down over Bodega Bay, but it was called
Antonio Bay. Yeah, that's such a genius way to introduce
beautiful
the movie.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah.
Everything looks so good. And, you know, it is a slow burn, but when you do see those scary, like the ghosts of the lepers and Blake, I was wondering, like, when you're on set doing, you know, seeing these scenes being set up, like, you know, what does it look like? You know, it like, we don't actually ever get to see the ghost of the lepers. So what did they look like, actually?
Well, you see them in the church, don't you? Come the sailors coming in the
down
through
very
the fog
dark
in the church. Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. Dean Cundey, Dean of Darkness.
Dean.
Yeah. The lighting.
Oh, it's
cinematographer.
Perfect.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
He certainly is and was then. And, well, it's a, you know, when you're making it, it's not scary when you're making it. You're hoping that
right
it will frighten the audience, but it's making a movie, and it was nice shooting a breeze with the terrible guys that came out of the fog with their glowing eyes and stuff. And 'cause they were good guys and stuntmen and stuff. And, yeah, it was a joy to work with Hal Holbrook too. I would
That's
go out
right
and when we were shooting up in the church in up above Pasadena. Oh, Santa Maria! I can't remember the name of the little community up above where the church is. It's still there. I went. We had a Sean Clark who books me into these conventions now. He and I went up about a year ago or two to visit the church. We went to the Buccaneer for the Halloween 3 bar that we shot in.
Nice.
It's still exactly the same as it was then.
That's awesome.
All those years ago, it's still the same. And he said, you want to see the church from the fog? I said, yeah, I had forgotten it was in the same ball yard, and we drove up a few streets, and there it was, and it was really, really nice, beautiful.
Wow.
And also exactly the same as it was back then.
Wow.
That's
awesome. Yeah. It's so great that, you know, fans and you know, you can go and revisit those locations and you know, remember the good times had there and, you know, how
I think they have tours of those places now, you know.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Fans, yeah.
Yeah, and I was even thinking, like, the bar in the fog looks kind of similar to the bar in Halloween 3 too. It's like I feel like I always see you in a bar.
Oh yeah, yeah, but it was different. It was different. It wasn't the same. It was that was in Inverness or Petaluma or somewhere up there.
Right.
The bar, yeah. Yeah, I think we were in the town square. They had a rally and people in the stands, and Janet made a speech.
That's right, yeah.
Janet Leigh, and we had Jamie and I were drinking. Well, we went into the bar. I think I made a phone call to somebody, probably to Adrienne or something up in the lighthouse.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I hadn't thought about these things in a while, but they are wonderful memories. And I remember when we were shooting in the church, I can't remember her last name. She did all the Walker, maybe Kim Walker. She did all the photos for John on Escape from New York, Halloween, The Fog, Halloween 3 also, I think, maybe. And she has a wonderful book of photos of all his films, coffee table book. And there's one in there that I got a headshot from. She just took me standing outside the church in the entryway where this big angled beam, wood beam, is kind of behind my head, and just me standing there in a leather jacket. And it's a terrific shot. And I remember going, Hal Holbrook had a trailer outside the church where he would, you know, every time in between scenes, he'd be out there just working on his one-man show about Mark Twain.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And stuff. Yeah. And, kind of rerunning lines in his head and stuff. And I would go out and chat with him and talk with him. And I got to see him do Mark Twain right after we finished. Soon after we finished The Fog, he did it down in Claremont, just west of L.A., somewhere out there where the college is. There's some college out
so
there,
got
I
to
think.
Actually
so,
see
yeah.
The show.
Yeah. Yeah, and then visit with him after. Yeah, it was really nice.
And then you two, you know, I don't think you had any interaction on this movie because you're in different segments, but you both ended up in Creepshow after that.
We did. Yeah, we did.
That's so
true.
Cool.
Yeah. And Adrienne was in that.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. And Adrienne's in that too.
Yeah.
It's just like a weird sequel to The Fog.
Here's my favorite piece of personal trivia. Adrienne Barbeau and Tom Atkins were in 4 films together and never on screen together.
Whoa. How did that happen?
That's the truth. I don't know. I have no idea.
Wow. But you guys were old friends, too, even before you were in movies together. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so crazy.
We were in The Fog and Creepshow and Escape from New York and 2 Evil Eyes.
Wow.
A George Romero film that shot here.
Oh,
and,
is that the Argento George Romero?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah.
That's so crazy, man.
Isn't that weird?
Hey, there's I can see a future where there's Tom Atkins and Adrienne in a movie together. There's still a chance it could happen.
And maybe even in a scene together.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow. Yeah. That would be a treat.
We talked a little bit about the Nick character in the beginning, but we're kind of left, you know, an open ending for Nick Castle in The Fog. And I would just like to know, like, what are your theories on what happened to your character after the ending of The Fog? Like, where did Nick Castle go? Did he create a life with Elizabeth? Or, you know, was he on to the next thing? Or, you know, did it mess him up psychologically? What the heck happened in Nick Castle after the fog ended?
I think he and Adrienne got together.
Ah.
Because he saved her son, and she was forever beholden to him. And they ended up getting together and going off into the sunset together.
See, there's our movie with Tom Atkins and Adrienne. Yeah. And it's the sequel.
He bought a boat and they went down to Bora Bora and fished and just lived on the beach and drank a lot of pina coladas.
Well, yeah. I like that theory. I like that a lot.
Me too. Me too.
Now, the fog turns 40 years old this year, which is incredible to think about. Why do you think this movie just endures and gains new fans every year and is remembered so fondly by the horror community?
Because it's a really good movie. And I think all the movies we made back then in the 80s and late 70s and 80s were good films with good stories and characters that you could root for and care about and hope that they got out the other side alive. And the newer ones today are not so compelling, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree.
They're just harder to care about the characters and that, especially things like Saw. They're just kind of relentless gore and no people to care about in them.
Right. Yeah. There's no.
That's what I think.
Strong narrative, strong characters. Yeah. I agree.
And I never did see. I know there was a remake of The Fog, and I never heard a good word about it. So I never saw it, and I have no interest in seeing it. And I think that's why ours endures.
Well, Tom, this has been such a fantastic trip down to Antonio Bay. And I loved hearing all of your stories and memories from the making of this amazing movie.
Thank you, Natasha. You're
so wonderful. And, you know, your portrayal of Nick Castle in this movie is fantastic. And I just love to know, and, you know, to all our listeners out there, what are you working on now that you're excited about?
I was working on a thing called, it was the first time it's ever happened in my life, an indie film called The Collected. There's two prior movies, The Collector, The Collecting or something, and this one was called The Collected with a three where the E would be, C-O-L-L-3-C-T-E-D. Mm. And we shot the ending first. Down in Atlanta, it had, let me see now, Josh Stewart was one of the main fellas. He played my son. I played his dad. There was another fellow, I can't remember his name, who played the bad guy, the collector. Mm. And I thought it was a terrific script. We had a wonderful time shooting the ending for a week. The sequence, and then it all went away because they didn't really have the proper rights to shoot the third film of the Collected series.
Oh, dang.
So SAG sent it away. Shut it down, and I don't blame them, but it was a shame that it didn't see, you know, with an indie film, there's never any guarantee it would see the light of day anyway, but it was a shame that it was never able to be finished because we had a pretty good cast going, and it was a pretty good story, and that's that.
Yeah.
I might be doing one with Paul Stalamoff did a thing called Encounter. We shot two summers ago. It's out on Blu-ray. A sweet little sci-fi movie that's nominated for some kind of best sci-fi film and some one of those award things. And he's in line to do another one called Into the Gray, a more psychological thriller, not a sci-fi, but maybe next month to start that.
Mm, oh,
also
very cool.
Done, not in Atlanta, but Augusta. That's where we shot. encounter and collected was Atlanta, and now Into the Gray would be Augusta.
Yeah, everything's in Georgia now. It really is.
I know. There's a ton of stuff shooting down there. Yeah. So
it's like, move over, Hollywood. Georgia's coming through.
I know. Well, movies go anywhere it's least expensive to film and where they get the biggest kickback from tax incentives and things.
Absolutely. Well, for 2020 and beyond, I know I'm hoping for it, and I know our listeners are hoping for it too, but we want to see more Tom Atkins. We really do. So
Me too.
Yes.
So do I. I'm in full agreement.
Yes. More Tom Atkins.
I'll sign that contract right now. Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Tom. It has been such a pleasure talking to you, and I have to say I was like shaking earlier when I was just so nervous about talking to you because you are my favorite actor.
Oh, Natasha, I would give you a hug to settle you down.
Well,
I embrace you from afar.
Class Of is a Fangoria Podcast Network original, hosted, edited, and produced by Natasha Pacetta. Executive producers Dallas Sanye and Phil Nobile Jr. Associate producer Jessica Safa-Vamare. Music by James Malone. Art and design by Ashley Detmering. For Fangoria, Brendan Wynardi and Jason Koslerich. With special thanks to Tom Savini.